Amen. Praise the Lord for the special here this morning. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place. And we pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and not only for our members, but whoever might come through the doors. And I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 136. Psalms chapter 136. The book of Psalms is God's book of songs that reveal God's truths. He had the nation of Israel to sing these, to constantly be reminded of the truths of God. And it's a tremendous book of the Bible. It's a very comforting book of the Bible, but it just reveals God's truths. And the more you read them and are comforted by the truths that God has given to us. And so he revealed it to them, and this was a psalm that they were to sing, and I believe it's one that God would have us to learn from this morning. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read this entire psalm. There's 26 verses here. Psalms chapter 136, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servants, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Yeah. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we thank you that your mercy doth endure forever. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together here this morning. God, thank you that you are an almighty, sovereign God who understands, knows, and sees all things. And Father, I thank you for each one that has come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church this morning. Whether they're a member or somebody visiting for one service or someone visiting for many services, I just thank you for opportunity for them to be here. And I pray for each one, Lord, that they would have that ear to hear what you have for them to hear and receive today. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth the message that you have for each and every one that's here from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. No doubt the common thought, the thing that kind of sticks out when we read this psalm is His mercy endureth forever. And I think that's because that's what God wanted them to be aware of, because it is His mercy that brings all these other things into place. And we'll be getting into some of that in just a minute. But the first three verses begin with, "Oh, give thanks." And then we find the very last verse. It ends with, "Oh, give thanks." Let's give thanks unto God. The path to overcome spiritual oppressions, discontentments, and misery begins with thanksgiving. It's what God has commanded for His children from Old Testament all the way through this New Testament church age. From the very beginning of the Word of God, He reveals the importance of giving thanks unto God. Just a few verses that I want you just to listen as I read them. If you want to write them down, you can, but I'll go very quickly here. But Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20, the Bible says this, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." That's what Israel was to do with the book of Psalms. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the book of Colossians, the very two books after, the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians in chapter 3 in verses 15, it says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." The peace of God is connected to thanksgiving. In verse 17 of the very same chapter, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." In the book of 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in verse 18, the Bible says, "In everything," God knows the importance of thanksgiving, and He says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible records this for us. In verse 15, it says, "By Him, therefore," by Jesus Christ, "let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The sacrifices of praise continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Thanksgiving is linked to praise. Without it, we'll not continue to serve God. The first thing that will leave in somebody turning away from God is their thanksgiving, their thanks to God. Without being thankful to God, without thanking God for all things and in everything, we'll not continue to serve Him. In the book of Romans in chapter 1, it reveals this truth to us in a very clear way. In Romans in chapter 1, if you could, I'd love to read the whole chapter, but don't have time to do that. But in chapter 1 in verse 21, it says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That means they weren't thankful to God, and thanksgiving is connected to praise and glorifying God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. When you lose your thanksgiving to God, your acknowledgement of God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then it led to every kind of ungodliness that you can think of. But where it came from was, first and foremost, a lack of being thankful to God. So that takes us back to our text and the message that I believe that God has for us here this morning. Our text in chapter 136 of the book of Psalms. The psalm was to keep them mindful of two very important things. First of all, who God is. And the second thing would be what He has done for them and for us. Who God is begins off with telling us to give thanks unto the Lord. In chapter 31, 36 and verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. The Lord, the definition of Lord is a master. Someone who possesses supreme power and authority. I believe that for every born-again believer, those that have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, the first thing that He wants you to do concerning God once you get saved is acknowledge Him as Lord of our lives. And if you will, if you study this, we give thanks unto God through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was God who was manifested in the flesh. It was God, it revealed God's love for humanity and that He went to the cross of Calvary and there paid our sin debt that we owed and could not pay. He sacrificed Himself. He gave Himself to pay a sin debt. He resurrected from the grave, revealing that He was and is God. He ascended up to heaven. He's at heaven today on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And that's the position that He has in this New Testament church age. And He is to be Lord of our lives. Who is God? He's the Lord of my life. I need to realize that every day I give thanks unto God for being Lord of my life. He is master. He is the one who possesses supreme power and authority. There's none greater. Yeah. It says, give thanks unto the verse 2, give thanks unto the God of gods. Who is He? He's capital letter G, God. The supreme being, creator of all things, the great I am. And He's God of gods. Whatever gods other people might want to try to worship, whatever images, whatever graven images, they're just all idolatrous because there's really only one true God. And He is God of all gods. That's who He is. And so they're to sing this, that He's first of all Lord, and then I realize that not only is He Lord, but He is God of all gods. He is the only true, living, capital letter, G, God. And then in verse 3 it says, oh, give thanks not only to the Lord, but He is Lord of lords. Amen. He is a capital L, Lord, over all other authority. Lords. Whoever you might be under, whatever authority you might be under, whatever job you might be under, whatever authority in this life, whatever government you're under, whatever authority it is, listen to me, the God that we look to, the God that we serve, He is Lord of all other lords. And then at the end, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Heaven. Not talking about the heavens. The heavens are the atmosphere that we live in. God created the atmosphere, the heavens. But of heaven. This is, if you will, the third heaven or the third atmosphere. This is a different dimension. But what it is it's the abode of God. It's a place for all who follow after Him to look to Him will spend eternity in. He is the God of the eternal heaven. We will not give thanks to God if we fail to believe in who He is. Don't listen to the world's thoughts of God. Don't listen to the philosophers of the age. Look to what God has preserved for us to know who He is. The Bible clearly reveals to us that God is the Creator God. That He is Lord. Not only Lord, but He is Lord of lords. And He is God of gods. He's the only true God. Don't lose sight of that. Don't let anybody or anything get your mind away from who God is. Because when you stop understanding and believing who God is, you'll not give Him thanks. And when you stop giving God thanks, you're going to be led in direction that they were led in Romans in chapter 1. And turn to their vain imaginations. And then whatever they wanted to do and whatever felt good, that's what they gave themselves to do. It's the Bible. And it's prayer. And it's the church that are constant reminders. Every time you come into the doors of God's church, you're reminded, God is the one that we worship. He is the Lord of lords. Every time you come into a church that Jesus Christ established, where the Word of God is being preached, you're reminded of who God is. Every time you come through the doors where they are assembled together in His name, in the name of Jesus Christ, with the doctrine of Christ, listen to me, He's in the midst with us, and you're aware of the presence of God. You can sense His presence in this place. You'll not find that anywhere else. You'll not find that anywhere else but in the Bible and in an actual prayer to God and in God's church. Constant reminders. And praying. Every day, when I get into my prayer closet, when I bow before God in my prayer, I acknowledge God for who He is. And I give Him thanks. The first thing I do is, Lord, I thank You for loving me. I thank You for salvation. Which is proof positive that He loved me. He sent His only Son to die for me. And I acknowledge You for who You are. I worship You and I praise You for being the Almighty, Creator, the Great I Am. And then I personalize it. I always say, my Heavenly Father. And I say, I acknowledge You as being God the Son. Lord. Savior. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I acknowledge You as being God the Holy Spirit, my comforter, who that dwells within me. That's how I acknowledge, I address God when I bow before Him. In prayer, it is a constant reminder. If you pray the way the Bible tells you to pray, Jesus says to us, to acknowledge God the Father. This is how you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Not those, that's acknowledging, that is a type of prayer. That is a basic type of prayer that we are to go by, to realize that we are acknowledging Almighty God, Lord of Lords, God of Gods. Every day we need to be reminded of who God is, and you can remind yourself every day. It's God's will for you to remind yourself every day by through prayer. And when the church doors are open, God wants you to come to the church so that you would be reminded of who God is through the music and the assembling together of ourselves and through the preaching of the Word of God. Listen to me. That helps us to remind ourselves who God is. Without that, without acknowledging God and giving thanks to Him, we will not continue to serve Him. You won't. Every day, acknowledge God. Worship, praise, thanksgiving. In order to truly give thanks, we need to know to whom we are giving thanks and for what. Last week, we had the birthday party for our two granddaughters, and they're close together, and so Shree puts them together, and they have one big birthday party for Aubrey and for Carissa. And we're over there, and there are several people there, and everybody's bringing presents. And so these two little girls, you know, they're just looking at this present table, and it is filled with presents, birthday presents for them both. And they're so excited because of the gifts. They're so excited about what they're getting ready to open up. And they're just eyes are big, and they're wanting to tear into these presents. And they get the presents out. And the first thing that their parents do, in wise parents, say, all right, now what we want you to do is look to the card, because the card's going to tell you who it's from. And look at that person and tell that person, thank you for this gift. That's genuine thanksgiving. Amen. First of all, knowing who it is that gave me the gifts and what I'm thankful for. Look at them and say, I'm acknowledging you for what you've done for me. And I want to tell you, thank you. A generic thanksgiving is not what children need. It's not what God wants from us as well. A generic thanksgiving for just, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, and that's it. I mean, thank you for, you're not acknowledging God. Acknowledge God for who He is and what He's done for you. Amen. Yeah. Psalms 136, you go back there with me. Not only did he tell them to thank him for who he is, realizing he's Lord, he's God of gods and Lord of lords, and he's the God of heaven. No mistake. That's who they was to thank. But then in the other verses, what he had done and was still doing for them. Acknowledge God for who He is, and then stop and think of what He's done for you, what He is doing, and what He will continue to do if you look to Him. In every verse, His mercy endureth forever. Knowing who He is, this is the Creator of all things. This is Lord of Lords, God of Gods, and you're His child. You're acknowledging Him. He wants you to know first and foremost, my mercy is available to you forever. Mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. I don't deserve it. Do you think you deserve God to send His only begotten Son to die for you? When you had a free will, and the sins that we commit from a free will, a choice. And yet He loved you enough to send His only begotten Son. See, because that's where it begins. His mercy is available to us. And why is His mercy available to us? First and foremost, because of His love. That's where it all began. His love points to His grace. The favor of God. The favor of God. We have the favor of God because we have the love of God. Because He loves us, He wants to favor us. And we have amazing grace. I love the song Amazing Grace. I mean, we sing it quite often, and I think it's good because we need to be reminded of how amazing God's grace is. We have His grace because of God's love for us. His love for us points us to His grace. And because we have His love and His grace, then we can have His mercy. Very closely tied together, but that's the order how it comes to us. Hebrews chapter 4. Look there with me. Hebrews in chapter 4. See, we need to first of all thank God, knowing who He is. And thank God for His love. Everything that God does for us comes out of love. Everything God allows into our lives comes out of a love. Whether we realize it or not. That trial that you go through, God allowed it out of love. There's something that He wants to work in your life. There's something that you can come out of that stronger than what you went into it. And it begins with love is the reason He does it. Only reason He would allow it is because of love. The reason you're disciplined when you step out of line, whenever you do what you shouldn't do, the reason there's chastisement is first and foremost out of love. And because of that love, then He extends His grace. And from grace, we have His withholding of deserved punishment. Mercy. And it's available to us all the time. His mercy endureth forever. Don't lose sight of that. Throughout this whole psalm, don't lose sight of that. His mercy endureth not for just a week, not for just a month, not for just a year, forever. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. After revealing Jesus Christ and what He's done, He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." He made the throne of grace available because of His love. The throne of grace is prayer. That's just in prayer, communicating with God. He allows us to communicate with Him because of His love for us. And so we come, therefore, boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Love leads to grace, which leads to mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Amen. We can find that. Because of His love, grace, and mercy, then whatever we go through, we can have the grace, the help of God. Yeah. If you're looking for His grace to help, you'll find it next to Thanksgiving. Yeah. See, because when you're shuffling through and trying to get to the shelf of grace, you can't get there until you go through Thanksgiving. That's why we find this psalm, the first three verses, he is emphasizing, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the God. Give thanks unto the God of heaven. Because you cannot get to that place of grace and that place of mercy until first of all you come with an attitude and a mindset of who you are. acknowledging you and all that you do, all that you continue to do, and all that you will do. Psalms 136, go back there. What that, after verse 3, verse 4 down to verse 24, reveals the history of what God has done and is still doing. To him who alone doth great wonders. He still is doing great wondrous things. To him by wisdom made the heavens. He made the very air that we breathe. That's something to give thanks for. If you've ever been underwater before and stayed too long, you realize how precious air is when you come up out of the water. Amen. Give him thanks for it. He's the one that created it for us. And he still is making it available to us. The air we breathe. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have it. To him that stretch out the earth above the waters. We got dry land because God. To him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. God put them there for us. Every time you see the sun, you ought to thank God. Every time you see the moon, you ought to thank God. Acknowledge God put them there. Thanksgiving is where it begins. Them that smote Egypt, brought out Israel with a strong hand, with stretched out arm. Them which divided the Red Sea, miracle working God, made Israel to pass through the midst, overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him that led his people through the wilderness, he continues to lead us and guide us and direct us. To him who smote great kings, continues to fight battles for us that we don't even realize are being fought many times. Slew famous kings, Sihon, king of Amorites, Og, king of Bashan. I think we can go back and say Hitler, Stalin. Amen? It was God who gave us the victory there, amen? We could go on and on for who God has slain for America. Gave their land for an inheritance, even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our low estate, who sees you 24/7, knows you, knows what you're going through, and whatever you're going through, he's got grace to help. If you're thankful, giving thanks to him. Giving thanks to him, acknowledging who he is, and start by then acknowledging what he's done for you and understanding his love, his grace, and his mercy. Who redeemed us from our enemies. Satan is the enemy. He's the one that had us bound on our way to a devil's hell. Jesus broke the chains of death and hell. He's the one that has them. He delivers us. Who giveth food to all flesh, he provides for us. Yeah. Are we truly giving him thanks? Thanksgiving's coming up on Thursday. And oh, I trust that there's not a person that would not want to bow before God and give him thanks before you dive into that turkey and all the things that are going to accommodate you with that, all the other side dishes. But can I tell you that there should be a Thanksgiving day every day? Every day we need to acknowledge who he is. Every day we need to acknowledge what he has done, is doing, and will do. Yeah. In closing, I want you to go back to Job in chapter 1. I love the story of Job, and I think everyone here has benefited from the life of Job. If you've looked to God for help, many times he'll point you to this book to realize that God has a purpose, even when it didn't seem like there was a purpose. Job was a man that planned ahead. I think that's important for us. You say, preacher, right now, man, things are going well. I don't have any heartaches. I don't have any main battles that I'm fighting. Things seem to be going good. I'm in good health. We're financially stable, on and on and on. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. I mean, thank God in the good times as well as the bad times. Praise God on the mountaintop as well as in the valleys. If you're on the mountaintop right now, praise God, but realize there's coming a valley. You need to plan on what you're going to do when you face the valleys of life. You need to plan on ahead of time how you're going to respond to those trials. I believe Job is a perfect example of that. In Job in chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent the sacrifice and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." He said, it might be that my sons are going to sin against God. They're going to do something. I'm going to plan ahead and I'm going to make sacrifices for them, so that God would acknowledge the sacrifice. Job was planning ahead. Now, God had a different plan. But Job not only planned ahead for his children, but Job planned ahead for his life. As we see that Job would have been one that would have planned ahead when he heard that all of his children had been killed and he had lost all of his health, he had lost all of his wealth. Because he planned ahead, he already knew how he was going to respond in times of adversity. It's a good thing he did. Chapter 1, verse 20. Once he heard all that had taken place, the Bible says, "Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped." If he had not planned ahead, I guarantee you, if you don't plan ahead, if you're not used to giving God thanksgiving, if you're not used to acknowledging who God is and what he has done, will do, has done, is doing, and will do, when that happens to you, you're not going to bow down and worship. When you stop giving thanks, bitterness will creep in. You'll start blaming God and blaming everyone else, and you'll go the way of Romans chapter 1. Neither were they thankful. And they went the direction of a sinful nature. Because Job planned ahead, he knew what he would do no matter what, because he knew who God was. He knew what God had done, what good and what God was doing and what God would do. He worshiped and said, he knew this, "Naked come I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed or thanks be the name to the name of the Lord." Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy is available all the time. It endureth forever. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. It begins with thanksgiving. The path to overcoming spiritual oppression, Satan working hard on you, against you, you fighting spiritual battles. Discontentment, find yourself discontent with your life, with your marriage, with where you're at in life. Misery. The road to God's help begins with thanksgiving. What Satan is going to try to blind you to more than anything else, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, who is God of gods, Lord of lords. oh, give you thanks. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Proof positive. There should be no doubt in our lives that you loved us. You gave your only begotten Son to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I pray, God, this morning, only you know exactly how you wanted to use this message in the lives of the people that are here today. And I pray, God, that each one would hear what they have need to hear. Right now, God, that they would make whatever applications necessary. And with that, make the decisions that you'd have them to make. If there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today, right now, would be the day and the time they'd be saved. For that Christian that has been blinded to Thanksgiving, I pray, God, that the blinders would be removed and you would lead them back to the paths of righteousness which begin with Thanksgiving. God, work in our lives. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.